beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden.
Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We're talking roses today. And we've got Jay Harper in studio with us, along with Ryan Regine, who's a rosarian. And, you know, we've talked about how roses are grown and distributed. We've talked about how to plant. But let's talk about where to plant. You know, when you get that rose home, well, you should probably decide before you go and buy one where it's going to go. But what's the best placement for these? Are these heat sensitive? Do we need kind of a microclimate?
You know, growing roses in Arizona, everybody kind of thinks, well, I need to give my rose shade and protect it from the sun. And at my house, I have roses on all four sides of my house, all over my backyard and the front yard. And what I found is the roses that are getting the most sun are doing the best. They're have the best blooms. They have the best growth. I have a rose bed that I just put in 3 years ago in my front yard. It's about 3 feet, 2 feet away from the sidewalk. So full sun all day long. Out on the south side, those are my best roses. Without a question, those in this last year have been my best roses as well as the ones on a south-facing wall in my backyard. I have some miniatures on there that they just love it right there. Now, the ones that are kind of on the west side of my house that get more shade, they're doing good, but they're just not as strong and don't have as many blooms and as large and healthy plant as the other ones in my yard. I don't know. What do you think, Jay?
You know, I think people freak out in July or August, early September, when they go out and look at their rose bushes and they don't look that great. And they've got some sunburn or maybe a lot of sunburn on them.
Very few things outside in Arizona in July and August, September.
You know, there's about four things that don't. Lantana, dwarf oleanders, red bird of paradise, and bougainvilleas. Everything else has probably got a leaf or two on it that doesn't look too good. You know, we are so conditioned to have and we're so blessed in Phoenix to have really a year-round gardening climate. But it also is our undoing sometimes because we expect things to look great 365 days out of the year. So sometimes we don't pick something to put in our landscape because it might only look good for a season or part of the year or a certain time. And it's kind of a shame that a lot of our gardens and landscape have become almost sterile to the fact that there can't be a leaf on the granite, there can't be a thing out of place. We've taken all of our desert shrubs and we shear them into balls and squares, and you know, things aren't natural. Rose bushes naturally are going to get pretty beat up by the end of the summer, but all they need is a little bit of a cleanup, pruning in the fall, a little fertilizer, and boom, they're right back at it. You know, a lot of times, you know, Thanksgiving time you can have the best roses you're going to have for the year. So yeah, they need more air on the side of sun. If they're too shady, they're going to be stretchy and floppy, and they're not going to bloom as good, and the blooms are going to be on long floppy stems. And you might end up with more disease problems. There's a number of things that can go wrong. So put them in the sun and mulch the heck out of them. You know, put a lot of bark mulch and organic mulch around them. That'll help ease their summertime a little bit. But you're just going to have to be okay that they don't look that great. The blooms are going to get little. So it's just the way it is. Now clean them up and they'll be fine.
That's a result of just our heat, but isn't it this time of year when we're pruning them, they should look pretty beat up when you're done pruning right now?
Well, that's the other thing is that, so they are not going to look great for a while now after you've pruned them, especially if you prune them correctly and you prune them enough. I'll let Ryan talk about specifics of pruning, but we do that, and fortunately or unfortunately, we just don't get cold enough here to make roses go completely dormant or deciduous, so to speak. You know, they'll start getting some yellow leaves, but you just have to almost have your neighbor come over and prune your rose bushes for you because you're not going to want to do it. I did mine yesterday, and they were beautiful. They're in full bloom. They look fantastic. But
and whack!
You just kind of close your eyes and go, you know. So you're going to have a period of a month or 6 weeks after you prune them. They might not look that great. But you want to talk about specifics of pruning? I'll hand it over.
All right, Rosarian. So first off, you should have your Thorn Armor puncture-proof gloves on.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Get those gloves that go all the way up to your elbow and get you a nice, sharp pair of bypass pruners. I walk out there and I look at the roses and just kind of look at the overall size. It's 4 feet tall. I'm going to take about a half to a third of it off. So I kind of start on one side. One of the important things before I go too far is I look for a butt eye. The butt eye is if you look at the back of your hand at your knuckle, you can kind of see where there's kind of raised right there. You're going to see the same thing on the rose. You're going to see a smooth cane, and you're going to kind of see a butt eye. It's where a new branch is going to come out, and that's where you want to look. This is your chance to decide how you want your rose to grow. 90% of the time, you're going to want to find that butt eye that's facing out, which means then the rose is going to grow out away. If you're cutting it towards butt eyes that are cut that are inside the plant, then the plant's going to want to grow together. So look at that cane, kind of figure out kind of where you want to cut. Usually you want something that's bigger than a pencil. You want to take anything that's smaller than a pencil out on a hybrid tee, on bigger roses like that, and find that bud eye that's facing out. You're going to cut about a quarter inch at a 45 degree angle above that bud eye. And what that's going to mean is if you get in that quarter inch, you're not going to have any dead wood above there. If you're an inch or 2 inches, the wood's going to die back to the bud eye where that new cane's going to come out. So that new cane's going to come right out from that new one, from where you cut. And in 2 weeks, 10 days, you're going to see new growth coming out. That bud eye's going to swell. It's going to kind of turn red. And all of a sudden, you're going to see some new growth and leaves coming out of that area. And then just work your way around the rose. You know, if you have a sidewalk, if your rose is up against the sidewalk, this is the time where you can take and find that bud eye that's to the inside. So you're growing the plant kind of away from the sidewalk, so you're not catching your jacket or something every time you're walking past that rose. Work your way around and kind of take that half to a third of that plant off. And then when you've gotten that kind of established, you start taking off anything that's smaller than a pencil, any small canes, any crossing canes. If there's canes that are crossing each other, you'll see that where they cross, there's kind of some damage there. Let's clean that kind of out and prune away from that. And the final thing is to take the leaves off. Every leaf needs to come off. We have all kinds of diseases and insects and that are in those leaves, and taking every leaf off is just going to get rid of that. It's going to help you. In the last few years, we have had chili thrips show up in Arizona. We want to get rid of all those leaves and get those in the trash away. It's not really, especially if you've had chili thrips, you want to get rid of those. You don't want to put them in the compost so that you have those chili thrips come back or those other bugs and disease come back. So usually you want to get rid of the roses if you're going to mulch back on your roses. Now, if you're going to use that mulch for your garden or something else, that's fine. But coming back on your roses probably isn't the best way to use that mulch. But yeah, get every leaf off. And then when you're done, you should have 8-10 sticks just sitting there, and you have the next 4 weeks off, and you don't have to do anything with your roses. You can just enjoy them as they shoot out that new red growth and start to get growing again.
And you say remove every leaf. Are you plucking those by hand, or are you clipping those with your...
It's best to clip them. Sometimes I'll get lazy and I'll just start stripping them off, but that kind of leaves a wound. So I do try to use I don't use my regular pruners. I kind of almost like a scissors, and I can go much quicker and just snip a lot of those off. But at this point in the year, there isn't a lot on that area that's left after you've pruned. Some new canes that maybe came out some basal breaks, new canes that came out, they might have some leaves on them. But usually on where I prune down to is all that new growth, growth above is the leaves, and those are gone already. So anything that's left after I do the pruning, yes, I do clip, 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 clip.
Now, where does the actual flower bloom on a rose? You know, like in citrus, it's the old wood. It takes 3 or 4 years before it starts producing. And then you've got apples, where it's only the new growth that you're getting the fruit. Where on a, is there a,
it's
how does
the,
it
it's
work
the,
on the
it's
rose?
The new wood. So after we've done our pruning and taken it down to just those sticks, all of a sudden in 4 weeks, 5-6 weeks, you're going to see just all kinds of shoots and new growth coming out. And it's almost like on Monday you go out and, oh, they look really nice. And you go back out on Wednesday and you're going to be shocked at how much growth is coming out after you've done that pruning. They just grow so fast. And then you're going to start to see buds forming on the ends of that new growth. If you have floribundas or grandifloribundas, that have lots of blooms, you're going to see 6, 8, 10 buds on the end of those stems. Or if you have a hybrid tea, it's going to be typically just one on the end of there. And they're just going to shoot out, and by Easter, your garden's going to be full color.
And you were saying that a lot of people miss the best rose viewing.
Right.
You know, your Easter church service, and yeah. You've got your family meal and, you know, whatever you've got planned. But that's like the best weekend to go view the roses.
I love to have people come over my garden and walk through my garden and see the garden. And the Rose Society always has a rose tour every year. And so you get an opportunity to look at 6 or 5 different gardens. You get a map and you go to different gardens and see. The bad part is it never falls on Easter weekend when my garden looks its absolute best. I swear it's been that way for probably the last 10 or 12 years. Every time I go out and I'm like, if it could have waited 1 week or 2 weeks. But, you know, people are out on their Easter walks and I say, hey, come back and check out the roses if you want to do that. So, yeah, that's the best time for my garden.
Now, Jay, you had mentioned earlier about them going dormant and that, you know, the lower elevation of the state, they may not always get full dormant. With all the varieties, I mean, could you have roses in Flagstaff at freezing cold? Is there enough growings that you'll get a bloom at the end of summer?
They do have some problems with getting too cold in higher elevations where they'll prune their roses back, then they'll cover them. Ryan talked about covering your rose bush with mulch when you new plant it. They do that in the late fall or early winter in real cold climates to keep the canes from freezing. So they can have roses. There are rose varieties that are more cold tolerant than others, and they do sometimes have to do some protection on their roses, particularly like in Flagstaff, 7,000 foot of elevation and higher. So, they have no problem with things going dormant there.
No, and it would be a problem if they didn't go dormant.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, we're talking roses. We've got Jay Harper, Master Gardener, in studio with us, along with Ryan Regine, a rosarian. And how did you become a rose hobbyist?
I mean, I'll kind of make my story short because it's a long story. When we bought our first house outside my wife's kitchen window, I wanted to put something out there with some color. And so I put some roses out there, went and bought some roses and thought I knew what I was doing. Well, it turned out I had no idea what I was doing. I killed every one of them. So I joined the Rose Society. I needed ideas. I looked on the internet and I did exactly what I was just talking about. I went on a garden tour. Bob and Donna Martin had a garden out in the West or East Valley in Gilbert there, and I went to their backyard. I walked in their backyard, saw 400 roses in their backyard. I fell in love. It's something I wanted. Bob Martin was the president of the American Rose Society, amazing guy, and that's where I got started.
Well, okay. Very good. How long ago was that?
Boy, that's been 20 years ago now. I'd say it's been 20 years.
So this passion has really, really got you.
it bit me, you know, and I exhibit and I give tours and everything. I love to talk roses.